It is 6 o'clock on Wednesday, April 22nd, 2026, and this is a regularly scheduled Planning Commission meeting. In attendance are Sherm Howard, Richard Howard, and Alan Bice. Could I have a volunteer to give us an invocation and lead us in a pledge? Thank you.
Our Father, we're thankful for the opportunity we have to be together in these favorable circumstances, this nice facility, and discuss the plans for our community. We ask that you bless us to be kind and respectful to each other, whether we agree or disagree with what they're saying. And we ask thy blessing to be upon this meeting now. Praying in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And Christian has joined us. Could I have a motion to approve tonight's agenda?
I'll make a motion to approve tonight's agenda.
I'll second.
Motion by Christian, second by Richard. All in favor?
Aye.
Item C is approval of the minutes of the April 8, 2026 regular meeting.
I approve the approval of the minutes of the April 8th meeting. I approve the approval.
I recommend. I'll second that.
Motion by Richard, second by Sherm. All in favor?
Aye.
Item D is reports. Seeing no city council representative, what do you have for us? Derek.
Oh.
Sorry.
I miss a meeting and I forget where I'm at. Really, the only big thing, which hopefully I'll be able to provide to you next time, is an updated map on the secondary water project that we're hoping to get started at the very end of November 15th when we take the water out. The pond project will start at the start to end of June, and that will take the Reeves water from Ash Creek's plant through Riverwood up 370 west, get up to about 800 north, and then it will go underground, or it will be bored or bored underground Interstate Rocks property where 740 north starts, which is the intersecting road off of SR-17 going into phase into their Continental Hall subdivision, up to an area to the upper eastern, the northeastern part of the main part of the twist. This is it starts to make its first turn going up, where a 7 million gallon pond will be put. That'll be a sediment pond. That when everything is finished, that's where the Burkin will start taking the secondary water from, and it will be pumped. It will be better water quality. It won't be perfect, we won't have to worry about the Porterville mud. We won't have to worry about the rain above us. Things like that will have more consistency. And the hope is that when that project's done, that's going to be about an 8 to 12 month project. And then our secondary water project will be a 2-year project. We will keep, the intent is to keep everybody in water on the old system as long as they can until we get to the point that we can slowly start the transition. And we'll be moving somewhere around 1,200 connections out of the backyards of people so that it's all in the front yards, out in the streets, minimizing our insurance exposures, our liabilities and stuff like that, and making it so that people have a better chance to hook into it. We will also provide a map and a stake to everybody so that you can put it in the best location that makes the most sense, because some places, like our utilities, like our water and our irrigation, can get in 3 feet of each other, one side or the other. But because of the way the yards are, existing concrete, other things that may obstruct you from getting it from the front to the back, we'll be given a stake out, and that stake will be where they will set the meter. It will be a meter. It will be set just like a water meter. It will have a yoke. Instead of a meter, it will be an idler for now until we're absolutely ordered to meter our secondary water. So that's what we're getting in preparation for. So, and the hope is, too, by going this direction, we'll revive people will start taking more advantage of our secondary water by not having the color issues, not having the issues with so much time out pending monsoon season, you know, things like that, and have a better conservation effect on our culinary water. So anyway, what I wanted to do is provide you, when I come back, with a map of where it's going to go, what roads will be impacted. And the horrible thing about it is that almost every road is going to be impacted, and Leverkin City will be tore up for 2 years. And it will start the failure of our roads once we're done. So it will solve one problem and start another one. So we'll see where we go from there.
Will that make those backyard easements go away? If irrigation is the only thing in them, will the city surrender the easements?
I would imagine, unless it's a ditch, an existing ditch that the city would still keep in place for
flood,
future drainage or whatever the need may be, all other easements will go away because everything will be out in front and in the city right, existing city right away.
And will it be year-round? Will it still go out November 15th?
The hope is that we will probably run 10 months out of the year, with the exception of December, January. Pending weather, we always have the possibility to bring it back in, because it's not going to be that hard, because it's going to be there. But we also entered a contract with the Conservancy District to supply them X amount of water in this whole exchange that we're doing, that eventually will be coming back to us in culinary water connections, and enough that if everything goes right, it will complete Leverkin grow out on the bottom and the top side. So Leverkin really is setting itself up in a very good position right now.
Those that have it in the backyard, once you move it to the street connection, how do they get it to their backyard?
That's been a point of discussion. So there's been talk about providing X amount of money. And I'm just going to throw some money out there, okay? I'm not charging money. Let's say like $1,000 each person gets, and you can coordinate the contractor or whoever's there to get it and run it to your backyard. Or we may buy all the material and say, okay, here's what it's going to take for you to do your thing. You just need to do the labor to get it back there. There will be something that will help offset the cost associated with having it in the back, but having to move it to the front. Because you're going to move to the front and then have to run a line to the back. That's usually how you set your sprinkler system up, right? So that's still in the works.
So something like the Hardy property that I own across the street, that's a pretty deep lot to get it back in there.
And there may be possibilities of two connections. There may be some of the deeper lots like Micah and a few of those guys have a way deeper lots. There may be multiple connections, bigger connections coming in to compensate for, because, you know, you're probably going to end up with anywhere from an inch to maybe an inch and a quarter, at the most, an inch and a half. Some of those other properties are going to require bigger size pipe, but we're going to kind of systematically figure that out as we go and work with the individuals so that you don't minus from what you already are expecting. So there's going to be a lot to still work out, but we're kind of touching there.
Thank you. Item number E is a public hearing, actually two of them. Before public hearings, I have a statement that I always read. Public hearings are designed for the public to express opinions or desires or make statements otherwise relevant to the issue being discussed. They're not an opportunity for debate or discussion. At the discretion of city staff or the Planning Commission, questions raised during the public hearing portion of the meeting may be addressed after the public hearing closes and the Planning Commission discusses the issue at hand, or may be addressed by city staff at a later date. But during the public hearing, no interactive discussion will take place. To give everyone an opportunity to speak, we'll limit each speaker to 3 minutes. I doubt that's going to be a concern tonight. So the first public hearing is about the proposed mixed-use zone. And if you'd like to speak to that, we'd invite you to come up, state your name, and tell us what you think. Seeing no one, we will close that public hearing. And the next public hearing is on HDR 11, which is going to be a continuation of the public hearing on HDR 14. So that's a high-density zone, and we, the Planning Commission, opted to modify that from 14 dwelling units per acre to 11 dwelling units per acre, and so we tabled the public hearing, as I understand it. So this is a continuation of that public hearing. Again, we'd invite you to step up and give us your name and let us know what you think. Yeah, the zone doesn't currently exist, so this creates the zone, but before it applies to any property, those owners or other interested individuals would apply to have the zone changed to any given zone.
And then we would go through the process like any other zone change.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you for answering.
Seeing no other comment, we'll close that public hearing and move on to item number F. Number one, discussion and possible action to recommend approval for amendments to the mixed-use zone. Discussion.
This is one we've worked on for quite a while.
We have.
And last time Brad went through it again a little bit, and I think we're pretty much there, aren't we?
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, you're right, Richard. We've gone through this quite a few times. Really, the only changes that are different, not from last time, but just most recently, was that we stated that residential condominium that must be associated with a bottom floor commercial component. It was important to the commission. We prohibited vacation rentals. There was this question about the height of the first floor that should be a little higher because it's going to be commercial. So we kind of changed the language of the height regulations, allowing it to be a little bit higher for the first floor. We've got the setback requirements in there that if it's adjacent to a residential area, that it has to be graduated up over a number of feet. And that no structure on a lot shall exceed 70% of the lot. 75% of the total floor area development can be developed as residential, but 25% has to be commercial. And then when it comes to homeowners associations, the bylaws have to be approved by the city. And then we also added in there that a management office is required for development such as this. Those are kind of the concerns that came up.
So that height of the first floor, I didn't see. Is there a recommendation?
That's 15 feet.
Wasn't that 15?
It was up to 15 feet. But
right.
But they could be at lower?
Could be lower, yeah. But based on these guys who do this stuff all the time, just equipment and everything, for a first floor like that, they kind of figure 15.
It can be up to a height of 15.
Correct, yes.
So I think the taller entrances look nice. They feel nicer.
And then that kind of raised the maximum height of the structure to about 50 feet.
Yeah. So,
but it could be lower than that, you're right.
But you don't want to let them do too low.
Yeah, you want to look good, yeah.
Okay, that's fine.
Thank you.
And the graduated height matches our other commercial zones.
Yeah, that's the one that we worked on to where if you're set back from the property line, go higher after 50 feet. You go to the maximum height of the zone.
I like it.
Other discussion? I would entertain a motion for action.
I recommend approval of the amendments of the mixed-use zone as presently constituted.
I'll second that.
Motion by Richard, second by Christian. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Number two, discussion and possible action to recommend approval for an ordinance creating HDR high density residential, HDR 11 high density residential zone.
This is one, Brad, if I'm correct. We talked about the four stories and now you've got it as three in here, correct?
That's correct, Richard. We went from the four stories to the three stories and from 14 units to 11 units per acre. Mm-hmm. 11 may still be a little bit aggressive, but it's probably going to be somewhere between 10 and 11 mm-hmm. to that point. So, but yeah, that's the only change that was made from 2 weeks ago.
And it was looking pretty good then. And for Doug Beecher's comment, I'm kind of the same way, but Leverkin and the whole area is so changing that the property values are so high that the only way for anybody to invest in any kind of building project now, they have to go dense and up. But we didn't want to go four stories, Doug.
Well, and again, this doesn't exist anywhere right now. This will just be in your code. Mm-hmm. Where if a developer comes in, you will have the option to grant that change.
Right.
The thought process is we're creating something for topside, but when it's in our code, it won't exclude it from happening any place that it's authorized to happen.
In fact, the concept plan for the Squire property right now is kind of one of the ideas that this addresses, isn't it?
I'm not familiar with the property.
That's the one where they're it's the one just across, just on the north side of the spa, Zion Springs.
Okay.
And they proposed some townhomes.
Oh, those are, okay, that was that, like that triple thing that we looked at, yeah. I mean, it could be used there, yeah.
Yeah, because I like what Alan's saying. I'd like to put it all up on top side in a planned community, but once we have it as an ordinance or whatever, somebody's going to want to apply for down here.
They can apply if you don't have to prove it. Mm-hmm.
Thanks for work on that, Brad, and the bench use.
Further comment?
Your turn.
Okay. I recommend that we approve an ordinance creating that HDR 11 high density residential zone.
I'll second the motion.
Motion by Sherman, second by Christian. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Item number three, discussion and possible action to approve the precise architectural plan checklist for River's Edge project, which is the Rouge property.
Correct, yes. You should have a copy of the staff report. Talk to Faye, we're going to start doing some staff reports in certain items. Hoping to find this to be helpful as you kind of go through this process. Again, a precise plan, we're looking at site plan, architecture, landscape, and of just commercial development. This precise plan is 26-1. It's Rivers End, Edge End, at Zion is requesting establishment of a 10-unit addition to an existing motel located at 254 South State Street. The zoning is commercial, the general plan is commercial. There is an existing 13-unit motel on the property, and they're presently renovating that. The Liberty Municipal Code requires 1.1 parking spaces for each motel unit plus 3 additional employees. The applicant is providing that. The width of the main parking drive, or main drive aisle, was increased to 25 feet, which is about as much as we could possibly do to try to accommodate pickup trucks and the larger vehicles. The applicant was made aware that the city will possibly be increasing the width of the sidewalk along State Street to 10 feet, so there's a provision in the site plan for that. They're also providing a hardtop gazebo, which will locate the rear of the property, and that will be for patients to sit on. But it also doubles as a retention basin for water. The proposed architecture of the motel units will be modern design and will include higher-end features and material on both the interior and exterior structures. Private patios will be provided on any of the different units. You can see the architecture. This is the same one we looked at a few weeks ago. In regards to the fiscal impact, the city will receive its share of increased property tax associated with improvements, and in addition, it will receive a share of transient occupancy tax. So you are converting some of your commercial property into some financial reward for the city, so to speak. With that, staff recommends approval of precise plan 26-1, subject to the findings and conditions of approval, which are in the staff report. I did talk to Jacob Roosh. He said he couldn't make it tonight. That's why he's not here personally. But he's aware that it's here and would like, obviously, get this approved. So, and that concludes my report. Are there any questions?
And if they do a nice landscaping here, can we have them tie that with the old Sunrise Market landscaping too?
I told him the motel site that's up there to copy that. I think they've done a pretty nice job.
Is that the dwellings?
Yeah, and that's what they plan on doing.
That area has been such an eyesore for so long. For what the Roosters have proposed, it's going to enhance it so much better than what we've had for decades now right there.
I'm looking forward to something being done with that property. It's been empty as long as I can remember from the one building in the back.
Well, I agree completely, as I mentioned at the workshop, we had it. I mean, if you don't allow something like this, you're just going to get what you already have.
Well, I think it's the perfect spot to do something.
Yeah.
It just fits kind of what I was thinking.
Like I said last time, originally, when they were first building that dwellings, I called it the Flintstone Village because it just looked impossible to look good. But by the time they got finished, I really like it. And if the Roosters will kind of compliment that thing.
I think so too, yeah. And when I met with them, I told them, you kind of got to go in that same path. Mm-hmm. Some type of modern architecture
And we really need something for people at the hot springs who've had too much to drink. There'd be a nice stumble for them.
For the comment? That discussion, I think we've kind of mentioned it. I move that we approve the revised precise artificial plan checklist for the River's Edge project.
Can I just make a comment before
yes.
move off of that?
Please.
I appreciate, first of all, Brad, putting together just kind of the report, the written report. I think it will really help. It'll help me. And I think it'll help the planning commissioners to go through some of these things, particularly when staff has made proposed findings and then the conditions of approval. So if we're inclined, after we get one of these reports, not just for this one, but for other kinds of items, we're inclined to say we want to go ahead with it. And the motion should say we move to approve adopting the findings of the staff report, and we also want to make it conditional on the conditions listed in the staff report. So the motion does two things, motion to approve, adopt the findings, and adopt the conditions of approval. So but it's clear from our minutes, if anything ever goes back, that we've examined all of those issues and we've talked about it, and then if somebody challenges it, we're on much better footing to show that our action was not just simply arbitrary or capricious.
So if I had to approve the architectural plan checklist for the River's Edge project, including adopting the findings and conditions of approval that we discussed today at the 254 South, SR9, Eagle's Edge, what is it? River's Edge project.
Did we get everything we were supposed to get there?
I was just going to say that we include the findings and the conditions as laid out in the staff report.
Yeah. I agree.
Said, then I'll second that. If we got it all.
It's all pretty technical.
It's a mouthful.
Well, I understand that.
Yeah. We're just looking to the future, trying to make sure that we cross all our T's, dot all our I's. When we have other kinds of projects coming into the city, we want to go through this format and make sure we follow this process.
Never be capricious.
Never be capricious. You can be arbitrary, but not capricious.
We've had a motion by Sherm and a second, I think, by Richard. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. That takes us to item number 4, discussion and possible action to approve the precise architectural plan checklist for Canyon Ridge Homes. The Jordan property? Did I pronounce that right? Okay. At 151 West Center.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Precise Plan 26-2. It is an application of Canyon Ridge Homes. And they request to establish a modular home sales facility located on the southwest corner of Center and State Street. The zoning is commercial, the original plan designation is commercial, and that piece of property right now is vacant. The project will be developed in two phases. Phase one will consist of the construction of 25-foot wide asphalt driveway, which will take access off Center Street. It will contain 5 parking spaces. It will have a temporary 12-by-60-foot sales office located to the rear of the property. And then the front of the property, located along State Street, will have a 15-foot wide landscape area. And it will also have a reserved area for possible 10-foot wide sidewalk if that ever does happen in the future. White vinyl fencing will be installed around the perimeter of the subject property. The city may possibly incur some with the sidewalk, as I said, in the future date, and it has been reserved for that. And the applicant is going to propose a sign, and that'll have to be by a separate permit. Phase 2 will take place within 3 years of the issuance of certificate of occupancy for phase 1. The temporary sales office will be replaced with an upgraded office. Another model home will be added to the lot, and a drop top of landscaping and decorative rock will also be added along Center Street as well. And I told this applicant the same thing to Matt. hotel unit complex up there in regard to the landscaping type. In regard to the fiscal impact, the city will receive a share of increased property tax associated with these improvements. In addition, the city will receive a share of sales tax, since a percentage of the manufactured home is assessed sales tax by the state. So, in regard to your commercial land, you will be making some money on your commercial residences. With that, staff recommends approval of precise plan 26-2, subject to the findings and the conditions of approval in the staff report. That concludes my report. Are there any questions?
I'm trying to visualize, because I know where Center Street is.
This is the grassy area.
This is just the grass. Just grass lawn.
That's right.
Okay, grass, I was making sure that was...
Yeah, just the grass plant.
Yeah.
Yeah, which, I don't know, you guys know better. Was there ever something there?
I thought it belonged to that
garden
that's just...
I thought maybe there was a structure that was down years ago. It's never been done.
Not since 1973. I don't remember back before then.
So for the first time, you can actually make some money on a piece of property.
It seems like they used to cut sod there and sell it and then resod it years ago.
Yeah.
But it's been that as long as I can remember.
So, by this plan, because it talks about the grassy areas will remain, the pictures look really good. If these model homes, will it look better than an RV sales lot then? Because will it look a little more like a mini subdivision?
I think it's going to look better than an RV sales lot, because you're not going to have them stacked right next to each other. You're going to have three models out there in an office. We'll have some grass area around. It'll be landscaped. I think it'll probably look pretty darn nice.
Will they be plumbed and have electricity and be functional? Or will
I'll have the applicant. He can discuss that.
Okay.
But the office definitely will be. I know there's being electrical brought into the site, and there is being sewer brought into the site, too. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be improved. And then he's going to have the fencing around it, which the white fencing, which I think will look pretty nice.
The vinyl fence.
Correct.
Yes. And the parking lot paved too, right? So
we're not
having road base or lot, it will be a finished product.
Correct. It'll be paved by the fence.
Will that fence be for the 10 feet that the city may eventually have sidewalk? And if that's going to be the case, who's going to maintain what will eventually be the city's, but who knows when? Or do we not know that answer?
Well, normally, even though there's development in the city right away, whoever did the development is responsible for maintaining them. If in fact the 10 feet comes along, we have to increase size of the sidewalk, they just have to adjust and talk to the applicant.
I suppose that vinyl fence wouldn't be a terribly hard thing to do.
Okay.
And the models they're bringing in, they're going to be de-axled and like, set, right? That I would still be on the axles, right?
The applicant wants to come up and speak, so.
Please.
Yeah. Hi guys, I'm Jordan. So to answer your question, they're going to be, some will be skirted. I'm going to take them out every year. So
okay.
I'm going to marry them together, finish the insides, clean them, furnish them, connect power to them, just put some steps up to them and some nice looking skirting around them. You won't see the wheels now, and I'll take the axles off. Or not the axles, the actual tongue themselves, so you don't have big tongue sticking out. But they won't have water and sewer to them. I gotta cycle them out every year, so that I'll be bringing in new models with new options and stuff like that.
Okay.
But you're probably not gonna hook plumbing, just mostly
no, yeah,
to be able to see, yeah, they can walk through.
Yeah.
And
I just want to finish a home that's furnished and they can
right.
Walk through and turn the lights on and say, hey, I can live in this. But the models are going to look really nice. That's why I want to premise. That's actually why I fell in love with this lot. Driving down, you're going to see a brand new, beautiful home facing the whole length of State Street. It's going to look really, really good. And then as far as you ever talked about landscaping, when I do put my fence in, I'll just make sure I kind of put the fence outside of that 10-foot mark, and I'll landscape up to the sidewalk.
Okay.
Questions?
I don't know if I have questions or statements, because I appreciate what you're saying and what's in here and what Brad is describing, because Leverkin, in the past, without specific zoning laws and some, I'm talking way in the past, ended up being a hodgepodge of things that we built over the years. And now that State Street is really where, 5 million people pass every year, we just have to make sure that it all looks good. That's why we're concerned about this river's edge or about what I was talking about, the dwellings. The hot springs are bringing in a classier look. The fields is bringing in a... Anyway, if you can do it like it's described here so that it adds to the benefit of Leverkin and takes away some of the hodgepodge look that we've had, because if you drive up State Street and you see how it's... Anyway.
This kind of landscaping that's shown in these mock-ups, like up next to the house, is that part of the plan, or is that just there for a look?
Those are concepts.
Those are concepts?
The models. I'm going to be changing sizes in different models, so it doesn't do any good to landscape or actually pour concrete, so I might replace one double I with a big triple I later on, and so that I have to rip the bottom of landscaping. But I will make sure around the models it looks nice. And I'm going to maintain the grass. I'm not sure quite what I'm planning on doing with all the grass, but as far as all the models are going to be, it'll all be mowed, of course, and taken care of. I plan to. It needs to flow in a way, so I need to be able to adjust the way people are walking around. So I might do pavers up to the mobile homes, but it's just going to be a removable set of steps up to the front door. They'll walk up 5 steps, go look at the house, and come back to the office, and that's probably it.
My concern is if it looks like you're describing and as it's laid out here, then I like it. If it looks like an RV sales lot, it's going to be hodgepodged, and I don't like it.
They're a lot harder to move than an RV. So
yeah.
And they're going to sit there a lot longer than a singular RV would. I'm only going to be rotating them out at the birthday. So. And people don't want to buy, come in and walk around a crappy little place anyway. And I'm not selling, I'm trying to change that. There's a negative stigma on manufactured homes, unfortunately. I've done this for the last 10 years. I just moved here from Washington State about 6 months ago. My dad owns a dealership in Washington State, and it's actually the most successful manufactured home dealership in the Pacific Northwest. I learned the formula from him, and it's actually been a dream since I moved up to Washington from California 10 years ago to work for him, and since then, it's always been a dream of mine to actually come and open in St. George, and it's been a rough year for me personally. I ended up having to just kind of restart my life, and I'm selling my home, left my career, but this is a chance for what I hope is going to be the rest of my life, and I truly, if you guys allow me to do this, I will make sure it looks good.
And of course, the neater you make it, the better things sell anyway.
Of course, exactly. And I went and visited. I mean, if you want to see how to not do it, go look at the one in Canada. Because I walked pulled up and I was like, oh my gosh, he's like, I'm not going to partner up because good enough guy to get a piece of the financing line. So I drove out to do it. The closest one is in Canada. And I walked in and I mean, the guy doesn't put power to the houses. He doesn't finish them. He just marries them together. And said, okay, check it out. And people, they're trying to visualize buying this home when it's not finished. I mean, so I won't carve up, but I'll offer you a job. And I'm like, okay, well, I want to fix this guy's dealership for a dollar.
So do you see a lot of that there's going to be a lot of demand in the area for these kind of manufactured homes?
100%. There's a massive affordable housing crisis in Southern Utah, particularly. And the land's going to still be expensive, but when these are set up, I've always, for the last, my dad taught me, right, they're not going in trailer parks. I mean, you couldn't afford to go in a trailer park. You need a normal mortgage on it. But by the time I'm done with it, I'm putting them on full cement foundations. I'm pit setting them. I'm not skirting. When they go to their permanent location, I'm actually putting them on concrete stem wall. I'm not just dunking them in parks and putting aluminum skirting around them. The goal is that it looks like a stick-built home by the time I'm done with it. And we actually pioneered a loan program that when you meet certain criteria, and I make sure that the factory that I'm going through meets these criteria, but if it's pit set, like you said, no wheels, no axles, you have some sort of carport, garage, or shop, or even a back patio somewhere on the property, when they go to appraise the value of it, they can actually compare it to state, they have to compare it to stick-built homes instead of just manufactured. And you can't do that when it's just dumped in with that. When you unhook it from your truck and say, all right, I'm out.
Just as a curiosity, Where are these manufactured at?
These are coming from Phoenix.
Phoenix?
Yeah, my old factory was in Caldwell, Idaho. It's a lot further than that. I wish I could have, you know, kept a relationship with them, but I wanted to separate from my dad completely. I've had every reason for failure, and I've been able to make it through all of it, and this is kind of like the last part now I can get before I can actually open. So.
As someone who lives in one of these on a set wall, the only reason I can afford a house in the Hurricane is because it's a manufactured home. When you're inside, you can't even tell. You know, they're not bad homes. They don't look bad. So I don't mind having a sales job. Like you said, the next newest one is in Kanab. There's nothing around here for this, for someone to come and look through one of these and look at putting one of these on a lot.
And he's just asking permission for three, but that kind of fills the property.
It'll be tight. I mean, I'd like to get all five like that, or four that I have in the space too, but my financing wouldn't allow me that. They wouldn't give me that much of a leash, so I gotta show me my
startup.
Yeah, so I gotta show at least 2 months.
Mm-hmm. Actually, for my taste, I'm glad there's fewer than five.
Further discussion?
Appreciate the explanation. Well, if Faye, we need to be careful on the wording that we use here.
it's just the same kind of wording.
What did Sherman say?
Including the findings and the conditions.
That we approve.
I approve the precise architectural plan.
We approve, with the. And that we adopt the findings.
That we adopt the findings.
Contained in staff report.
Contained in the staff
as
report.
As well as the conditions included in the staff
and
report. Something like that.
Conditions included in the staff report. It's not like anybody's putting words in my mouth.
It sounded very much like Richard said it to me.
I'll say that.
I propose what I think I just said.
Nancy will fix it up.
Thank you, Nancy.
I'll second that motion.
And thank you. I hope that's a real success, because our kids can't afford a home around here, so maybe you can provide one for them.
Motion by Richard, second by Christian. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Item number five was discussion regarding the general plan, but I have forgotten his name. Is enabled comes right.
Kevin Smedley.
Kevin
Smedley.
Okay. Brad.
I think you have a copy of this. Yeah, Eric just kind of informed me of this evening, but apparently the design plan in Hot Springs is coming for a sign. Kind of what they're proposing. They have like a video type of thing on their sign. It is going to require a condition use permit, and it's something that we can put together and probably do a staff report again. And I think what I'll do on the future staff reports is actually put what we need to say. That way you can just read it. So if in fact you want to read that. But are there any comments or questions about this tonight?
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Go ahead.
I know how distracting this kind of sign is there in Hurricane. I don't know. I never get to really see what's on there with it.
How far from State Street might this they be planning on doing this?
This particular sign, the way that it is, because from what I can tell, it goes from the bottom, and the sign goes clear. Can only go 25 feet tall. But they're going to have to sit back 30 to 40 feet so there's clear vision of the intersection. And I'm assuming this is going to take the place of the sign that's there now.
I hope so.
It's all right, but it's not working for what it wants to do. And what they're proposing is this may not be quite the size, but it's an idea. It could be smaller. We provided another picture of what Farmers Market has. They have an animated sign there with some dimensions. I think it's not going to really affect the residential because it's going to be facing that four-way corner. You got River Rock, you got the animal shelter, you got the workout place, whatever that is, and you got the vacant lot across the road that's
So it will be oriented east and west, not north and south?
It'll kind of have that kind of turn to it. Because their problem is they came to Bradness a few times and wanted to provide some off, what do we call that, off-site signage.
Yeah, there's the one that you want to do the directional signs we talked about a month or so ago.
And it opens up so many potential legal questions. And they really wanting to collect, because, you know, they're over here and they're doing a very good business because they can park them off to those points, but they're not really collecting or getting most of the tourists that are coming in over on this side. So trying to build something up on their own piece of property with something that we allow under a conditional use seems to make the most sense. We need to help them succeed because then we as a city succeed, right? And with the additional
income. And that would be my biggest concern is where that's placed, because right now I have a hard time poking out and around to see what traffic, because the angle of State Street.
Yeah, this will step quite probably where that sign is now. If you push that back probably another 15 feet in the triangular area, probably about where that's going to be.
A lot better.
Yeah, and it's going to be more turned, so straight, because they want that to catch everybody's attention, you know, and bringing the people in with what they're trying to do there. So I think it will rectify a lot.
So it won't be so much out flagging everybody's, I mean, it'll be where you can
see that
every direction you're coming.
Yeah. And we'll, when they get ready, I told Ron, I wanted to give this to Brad, but Ron gave that to me about 2 hours before this meeting. So Brad will sit down and kind of look at it, and we'll actually have Ron do a display of where it would actually sit on the property in comparison to the corner, so you can actually have a better idea of what it is.
Thank you. So this is just for our consideration tonight, and
we'll visit
it next time.
Going to be pretty comparable in size to that one, just for a frame of reference, like the Hurricane Movie Theater, the one they have. Is that, that's about the same size as this?
This is a little smaller.
A little smaller than that? Okay.
Like I said, we haven't had a chance to really look at the sizes, because we only got it a couple hours ago. So we'll do a little bit more research into it. We'll maybe give you some examples of what it may be. Like, we'll go down and look at that one and say, yeah, it's like this, but a little bit smaller.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just, I think the fishing to try to get a better audience into the conference, right? By whatever means. And everything they proposed to us to this point hasn't worked. And so I think it's good on them that they're still trying to do something. And according to this, it can work under a conditional use. So.
Thank you. I think that's going to bring us to item G.
I move that we adjourn.
Yep. Sherman's got to take the place of here.
Somebody's got it.
Oh, I'll second it.
Motion in a second. All in favor?
Aye.